I'm going to pray in Hebrew, and then I'm going to pray in English. I teach Hebrew at AU. So, here we go. Elohim Avinu, Anachnu Yodea, Ki Ishmakolenu, Ayom Zarenu. God, our Father, we know that you hear our voice in the day of our trouble. Sometimes prayers can be that simple. Today, we will hear about God hearing someone's voice in the day of trouble. This is my husband, Kevin. Raise your hand.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
He's my best supporter in all that I do. I'm in the doctorate program at AU right now. He is in the day of trouble. We always do things at night to make sure that we have our time together. We listen to podcasts. Everybody know what a podcast is?
Yep.
Good. Anybody not know what a podcast is? It is a radio show that we can download on our iPhone. And we listen to podcasts while we lay in our bed. One of the podcasts that we listen to is a cooking show. And the cooking show features a place in the cooking show where a lady reviews cooking gadgets. And they're always in pairs. One that's hot and one that's not. The one that's hot is the one she recommends you buy. We've bought a few of them. They're great. They're always great. The one that's not is one that she recommends you never even think about buying. We've never tried one to see if she's right because we don't want to risk the money. So one that's hot, one that's not. Well, today we are going to walk with Jacob. Jacob meets two girls. One that's hot. And one is not. Jacob arrives at the home of his relative Laban. And the first person that he meets is a really hot girl, Rachel, at the well. Why isn't the other girl at the well? We're going to find out. But first, why is Jacob even going here? Jacob has a great home. And his parents, Rebecca and Isaac. And meeting this girl at the well is kind of reminiscent of Isaac's servant picking him a wife at the well of his relative. And Rebecca was pretty hot too. But Jacob is at the home of Laban because he's running away from home. He's running away from home because he's gotten himself in some trouble. By tricking his dad, his old blind dad. And because he bought his brother's birthright. His brother's birthright was a piece of paper entitling him to all of his brother's inheritance. And his brother Esau was kind of silly. He didn't realize what all this stuff meant. He was just hungry. His brother had a special talent. He was a hunter. And Jacob worked around the house. He was a good cook and other things. But he didn't have any skills in hunting. So the time came that Isaac was getting old and infirm and blind, and it was time for him to bless his sons. Jacob's parents had a problem. Family was very dysfunctional. I don't recommend any of you treat your kids this way. Dad loved Esau. Mom loved Jacob. These were twins. Usually twins are very close, not these twins. Dad loved one, Mom loved the other. Mom had a great idea. Put on your brother's clothes so that you'll smell like him. and feel like him. Put on his gloves on your hands. And go in there and tell your dad to bless you. And Jacob's not too sure about this. He says, he's going to know who I am. And she says, no, he won't. And Jacob says, what if he curses me instead? And Rebecca says, well, he'll curse me because it was my idea. Jacob says, okay. And he goes so far as to let Rebecca help him put on Esau's clothes. He goes in. He says, Dad, I'm here for your blessing. And Isaac says, who are you? This is Esau's voice, or this is Jacob's voice, but you feel like Esau. Come closer and kiss me so that I'll know. Mm-hmm. And he comes closer and he kisses him. What do you know? Isaac believes him. Isaac has a problem. Which sense does he actually trust?
Smell.
It's the smell. I can kind of relate to this problem because people love to play these tricks on me. They'll come up and disguise their voice. Who am I? Usually, I can ferret it out because I'm used to these games. Isaac is an old man who's lost his sight. He's not used to this. So the trick works. But the problem is that then Esau comes in from the field and he's ready for his blessing. Hi, Dad! I've got some game for you. I'm gonna fix a stew for you. I already ate. Your brother came in and got your blessing and fixed me a stew and I'm full. I don't want yours. And Esau says, well, don't you have a blessing for me? The blessing Isaac gives him is, you're going to live far away from any ground that produces anything. You'll earn your living by killing things. You'll serve your brother Jacob. And when you get tired of serving your brother Jacob, you'll take back your control. That is not a blessing. Esau decides that he's going to kill Jacob. So Jacob's parents send him away to his brother Laban's house to stay for a while. Maybe Esau will calm down. So Jacob stays for a while, and when the text starts, I did not read the text because I'm telling stories. We're doing children's church. So he stays for a while, and he works. And eventually Laban says, you are a relative. You shouldn't work for nothing. So tell me what you want for your wages. Well, Jacob doesn't want any money. He says, I want Rachel. I'll work for 7 years if you'll give me Rachel for my wife. Rachel's really, really pretty. The Hebrew says she's not just pretty in her body, she's pretty in her face. So Laban says, okay, work for me for 7 years and I'll give you Rachel. There's a problem that we don't find out about until later. I'm stuck wondering why we never meet Leah. Leah is Laban's other daughter. Why wasn't she at the well? Why doesn't Laban tell Jacob that he's got this other daughter that has to be married first? Because it's his custom to marry his older daughter first. But he doesn't bother to tell Jacob this. Maybe he just assumes that somebody will come along who wants to marry her. I have a lot of empathy for Leah. Leah has what the Hebrew calls tender eyes. If you read it in your Bibles, it says, might say weak eyes. I think weak eyes is a bad translation because the word in Hebrew can be translated numerous ways. Tender eyes, back in the 1900s, if somebody was blind, they might have called them sore eyes. There's good reasons for that. Depending on what made a person blind as a child, it could be really painful. Tenderize. A person might be in too much pain after using their eyes for a long time to go out and do things. So was Laban just kind of hoping that somebody would come along and want to marry this girl? Maybe. But nobody did. So Laban's idea is to make a feast for Rachel's wedding day and then switch the girls out. Probably while Jacob was too happy and drunk. He puts Leah and her maid in the tent. And Jacob wakes up in the morning and says, "Hey, what did you do to me? This is not Rachel." And Laban says, it's not my way in this place to marry the younger daughter first. So finish out Leah's bridal week, and then I'll give you Rachel, and you work for me another 7 years. Indian giver. Imagine what Jacob is thinking when he's having to get up and look at Leah. His past is probably coming back to haunt him. He's probably thinking about old blind Isaac and the trick he played. If somebody deceived me, I would be thinking about what I had done. His guilt is looking him in the face every single day from his bed. So Laban gives Jacob Rachel, but he doesn't take Leah back. Leah is a bride now, and it's pretty common in those days for a man to have two wives. Now Jacob has two wives and two handmaids. But he sure loves Rachel. He finally got what he wanted. He loves Rachel the most. Rachel's still hot and Leah's not. Have you ever lived around somebody or worked around somebody who really did not want anything to do with you, but you were stuck there? Mm-hmm. And maybe if you just worked harder or did more things that they really liked, you could make them like you. You could make them happy. You could make it peaceful. But it was never enough. That was the situation that Leah was in. Nothing she could do would be enough, because Rachel didn't have to do anything to make Jacob love her. She was pretty. He loved her just because of who she was. And he didn't love Leah. It was simply because she was not perfect and she was not pretty. Was she a burden to him because of her eyes? Was she in too much pain to do things that she was supposed to be doing? Or did she keep on reminding him for year after year after year of his guilt? Or was he just obsessed with prettiness? No doubt this had effects on Leah's perception of herself after time, probably not after a long time, and on her ability to serve her family emotionally. English translations say that God saw that Leah was unloved. Only one, the King James, actually says God saw that she was hated. The Hebrew says that she was sanua. She was hated. Jacob hated her, probably because she wasn't Rachel. She wasn't the one he wanted, and so he held it against her all this time. So God blessed her. God opened up her womb so that she would have children. And what did he do to Rachel? He closed it so she wouldn't have any children. And so Leah starts having child after child after child. And she thinks, maybe Jacob will love me now. The names of Hebrew children are always based on what the person thinks God is doing. So the names of Leah's children, the first one is Reuben, because she says, God has seen my affliction, and surely now my husband will love me. The Hebrew for Reuben has the root for seeing, which is Ra'ah, and the end of it has the Hebrew for in my affliction, which is Ba'ani. The next child gets the name. She says, God has heard that I'm unloved, and so he's therefore given me this son, and she names him Simeon, which in Hebrew is Shimon, which has the root Shema, which is hear. God's heard. The third son, she says, now this time my husband will become attached to me. He still doesn't love her. This time my husband will become attached to me because I've borne him three sons. And she named him Levi. The verb for my husband will become attached is yilave. And the child's name is Levi. So you see that Hebrew is related directly to what God is doing. The fourth son, this time I will praise the Lord. And therefore she named the fourth son Judah. The verb here, the name Judah is related to the verb to praise. Every time she has a child, she names a child based on God's action. We never see a change in Jacob's attitude towards Leah. Rachel is always hot, and Leah is always not. Throughout his whole life, even Rachel's children are his favorite. And Leah's children are not. Throughout the entire Joseph narrative, which goes all the way through Genesis 50, Jacob's preference and his attention is always on Rachel and Rachel's children. When Rachel's child goes into Egypt, he's always afraid he's going to lose Rachel's other child. He doesn't care what happens to Leah's children or the handmaid's children. It's always about Rachel's children. But the blessings of God come through Leah. The priestly line comes through Levi. The priests throughout the Old Testament are Levites. And the Savior, Jesus, comes through Judah. Mm-hmm. Leah didn't know what was going to happen to these children, but she treasured these children as God's blessings. She knew that God had blessed her. She always hoped that it would result in a change in Jacob's attitude, but it didn't. But it didn't mean God didn't bless her. And so in the end, she chose to praise the Lord no matter what. Mm-hmm. The change that we see is inside you. So when we feel that nothing is right, nothing we do can change our earthly circumstances, God still is at work. God is still blessing. It's not up to us to order our steps. Rightness is not dependent on whether we see the kind of change that we are asking for. God is not a vending machine that we can pop a prayer into like a dollar, and then what we want comes falling out the slide down below. Rightness is God's work in the world with us as a part of God's work, mm-hmm. moving itself towards perfection at the day of Christ. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. I love that chapter. In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And farther down, it says, for all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. That's amazing faith. I'm not there yet. How different would life be if we live by a faith that's not dependent on seeing results? I still like results. But I will praise the Lord if I don't see the results. Because God is at work. How about you?
Amen.